This is a sort of casual, not that tight lecture, reflections in the area of topical exposition. You know, not too long after I came to 10th Church, I organized a summer series of evening sermons. I was going to do a couple of them, but the summer being what it is, most of the members on our staff and a few guests were going to preach, some of our interns, over the course of the summer. And when you've got various people preaching, sometimes it's hard to maintain a coherent momentum through a particular book of the Bible. And so I had put together a series that had to do with, in one way or another, broadly construed, the life of the family. And it was biblical texts taken from throughout the Bible. And a couple of members of the church came to speak with me about it because they were very concerned that we were now going in a very topical direction with our teaching ministry. And frankly, that's just not what we do at 10th Church. That was kind of the point of it. We work through books of the Bible, and typically long books of the Bible. We don't do topical preaching. And so, you know, I took the time to explain that what was in view here really was expositional preaching, topically organized. And they weren't so convinced, but they were willing to, you know, come to the evening services and see how it went. And actually, at the end of the summer, they came back to me and they said, you know, we really want to apologize because we didn't really understand what we were doing, and we understand now how appropriate and beneficial this was. But I think actually some of the concerns that they had were very legitimate concerns that we always need to keep in mind when we're thinking about addressing particular topics in preaching ministry. And so I want to raise some of those concerns, but then also maybe give some examples of some right ways of doing topical exposition. One concern, particularly for something oriented as that series was on the family, is that we won't actually present the gospel in our preaching. And let me just say, I mean, Mark, over the last couple of days, has presented this as something possibly controversial, that we would actually preach the gospel, invite people to Christ in every sermon. To me, that's completely non-controversial, that in every sermon that we preach, in some way or another, we are being clear with people about what the gospel is and inviting people to repent of their sins and believe in Jesus Christ. But there may be a danger if we're thinking very topically, depending on what the topic is, particularly if it's a topic having to do with Christian experience or daily life, that we may not be very clear about what the gospel is. I've been helped in this, frankly. It's been part of my conviction that in every sermon I want to present in some way the cross and the empty tomb. And I want to do that in relation to the text that I'm actually preaching. And one of the things that has helped me in that, and there are many people that do that more effectively than I do, but that's what I'm trying to do. One of the things that really helped me in that was my ordination exam, because I came in for my ordination exam in the Philadelphia Presbytery. I had just completed a PhD in church history, so I guess people thought I knew a lot. I don't know, but I came in for the exam, and I was examined with another person, and he did very well on his exam. I did all right. Were you there that day, Marion? You know what I'm talking about. So he would get questions like, outline the book of Matthew. And I would get questions like, outline the book of 2 Samuel. Now, you know, maybe you're as familiar with 2 Samuel as you are with Matthew. I really am not. It has something to do with David in there somewhere. But I mean, he was asked to say a few words about the biography of Martin Luther. And I was asked to say a few words about the Italian Reformation forerunner Savonarola. You know, I knew he was Italian. So it was, you know, it was going kind of like that. I mean, I was doing all right, and I probably wasn't in any danger of failing. But one of the brothers asked me a simple question, and that was just to define the gospel, or how would you present the gospel in a clear, simple way. And I did all right. I was in the ballpark, but it did not have the just the clarity that you really need for gospel preaching. And the brother kindly pointed out that I might find it helpful to, you know, look again at 1 Corinthians 15, where Paul is very simple and clear about what the gospel is. And that was a real help to me in starting out preaching, to say I want to be clear and specific about what the gospel is, and I always want to have the cross and the empty tomb, the crucifixion and the resurrection, the atoning work of Christ and the life-giving work of Christ in every sermon. But now if you have a sort of topical approach to preaching, it's possible that you might not be as clear about the gospel as you really need to be to preach the gospel. Here's another area of legitimate concern, that you will present practical wisdom that is not rigorously connected to Scripture. So you're sitting in your study and you're saying, I really think we need a sermon about this, and here are the things that I want to say about that, as opposed to really letting the Scripture be the main thing in what is presented. And so you may end up with five steps for this or for that, or a lot of practical tips for things, you know, maybe on marriage or parenting or what have you. It may tend in the direction of being experiential, that is, things that you've learned from your own experience that lack the universality of truth that comes from Scripture. It may be practical, but not very oriented towards the gospel. It may also be then limited by your gifts, your concerns, your experience, your spiritual growth, because you're sort of speaking to a topic from what you know about a topic rather than actually letting the Scripture speak to it. Now, there's a place for practical advice. There's a place for, certainly there's a place for the application of biblical truth. This is sometimes something I sometimes have to explain to people that are in our pre-marriage class here at 10th Church. Some of them come expecting it's just going to be a straight Bible study week after week. But actually, when you start talking about practical topics, you know, stewardship, conflict, you know, relating to your family, there are biblical principles there, but the biblical principles are fairly general and nonspecific, and so there's a place for practical Christian wisdom that flows from that. But the danger in a topical approach is practical wisdom not rigorously connected to Scripture. That's the temptation or danger that we're going to face. And some of these sort of practical advice you might give to people doesn't really fall into the category of something that you can stand in the pulpit and say, this is what God declares to you. It falls more in the category of sort of personal counsel or encouragement that lacks that authoritative dimension. So that's an area of concern with topical exposition. Here's a third, or with topical preaching, here's a third area of concern, that topical preaching may be limited by the preacher's own wisdom about what a congregation needs. The topical preaching will be limited by a preacher's own wisdom about what a congregation needs. Now, I'm not denying here that a pastor does have insight and wisdom into what his congregation does need, and that may well influence, for example, the choice of particular books of the Bible that you may want to preach. Here's a book that really focuses on the community life of the church, and that's an area where we need to grow. Or we really need help in knowing how to relate to a pagan culture, and so I'm going to look to the minor prophets, or you know, whatever it is. I also acknowledge, as a preacher, you're always making judgment calls, I mean, every week in preaching, about application. You know, you have a general area of biblical truth, you've been working through a passage, but now there's a pretty wide spectrum of ways that that can be applied, and that requires a lot of wisdom about the particular kinds of needs you have in your congregation. I'm not denying all of that, but I just want to say that one of the benefits of consecutive Bible preaching through books of the Bible is that the Holy Spirit knows what a congregation really needs. And the Holy Spirit has a way of applying biblical truth in its fullness as you work through the Scriptures that often, you know, goes well beyond the very limited wisdom you would have about the spiritual needs of your own congregation. I think you often find in the course of a longer series through part of the Bible that there's a lot of incidental application that the Holy Spirit does along the way on a pretty wide variety of topics that a lot of people need help with, and you would never be able to figure out the whole range of application that people need just by thinking topically about what you think a congregation needs. There may well be, in consecutive Bible preaching, consecutive exposition, a lot of topics that you would have thought, that doesn't really seem that relevant for our people, or that you might have thought, that's kind of a tough topic. I really don't know what to say about that. But it's there in the Scripture, and so you have to deal with it at some level, and the Spirit uses that to touch particular minds and hearts in particular ways. I mean, praise the Lord for the work of the Spirit through the exposition of the Scripture. Sometimes, maybe you've had this experience too, two different slightly related experiences. Sometimes somebody will come up after a sermon and say, I know this sermon wasn't really about this, but this really helped me. I mean, this little comment that you made, or I was noticing in this verse this, and it wasn't what you really had in mind as the thrust of application. It reminds me of something I don't like so well, which is people that come up with questions about the passage that's next to the passage that you were preaching. They like have read on a little bit, and hey, I got this question about this verse, and they weren't tracking as well as perhaps they should have been. Maybe that doesn't happen to you, but it does to me. People very excited about something that wasn't actually quite how you applied the Scripture, but it was how the Spirit was applying it. All of that happens, and so I think there's a limitation to our own wisdom about what a congregation needs, and so that's a legitimate concern, I would say, about topical preaching. Here's another one, that there is a danger in topical preaching that you will miss the real point of a passage, So you want to have a sermon on X, and so you think, okay, now that seems like it's going to be a good passage for X, but then you've come to that passage with this topic in mind, and that's so governed your thinking and approach to the passage that actually you've really missed the main point of that particular passage. That means it's very important if you want to preach, if you want to do expository preaching in a topical way, that you really choose carefully and wisely a text that will actually do some of the things that you're wanting the text to do. You can get some insight from Isaac and Rachel about how not to run a family, but that's not really the main point of God and how God is working out his promises in that biblical text. You can get counsel from Nehemiah on, how to be a leader, maybe even how to run a business, maybe. But that's very incidental to the main gospel and biblical point of the book of Nehemiah. The problem is not so much with the kind of danger or temptation I'm talking about, that application isn't there or isn't a legitimate extension of the application. It's just that you've gravitated over to something that's secondary or tertiary, and you've really missed the thing that is primary. In fact, I was just looking at something this morning related to that, because I was preaching through 1 Kings and ultimately preparing to do a expositional commentary on 1 Kings, and I've got some helpful feedback from Ian Duguid, who's one of the editors for it, and at a certain point, this is kind of in the bad days of the kings. I think it might have been Zimri, but I might have the wrong king. But it's the one who ends up getting killed after this drinking bout. Is that Zimri, or can somebody correct me on that? No Old Testament scholars here. In any case, I make an application out of it just about the dangers of the abuse of alcohol. And my editor is flagging that a little bit, that maybe I've made too much of that. So I'm going to have to go back and look at that. Have I fallen into this temptation of making the sort of secondary application too primary? But that's a temptation or danger you're going to face with topical preaching. Also the danger of mere proof texting or concordance searching. So, I'm preaching on this topic, and maybe I'm not rigorously tied to a particular text. I'm just thinking more thematically or broadly, and I'm pulling in a variety of scripture on this topic. And maybe I've done that just by words that are in texts, and I've sort of connected them, but not in a way that really represents the fullness or accuracy of what the Bible actually teaches. Boy, you really have to know quite a bit about the Bible to handle a particular text wisely and accurately. And if you're doing kind of a broad brush topical thing, you may pull in lots of texts, but really not have done so very responsibly. That's a danger or legitimate concern about topical preaching. But now having concordance searching. So proof texting is, I mean, the concordance searching is like just looking for particular words and pulling out, lots of texts that at least have that word and may say something about the topic, but you haven't really looked at it contextually. My favorite example of this was the church that had the following verse on its website. Where is it here? If you then will worship me, it will all be yours. That's Satan's temptation to Jesus, but it was presented there as, if you worship me, this will be the, so be careful. That's all I'm saying. You know, surely you've had, I've certainly had that experience. You're looking for something, you look in the concordance, and you say, yeah, that sounds pretty good. Then you actually see what the context is, and you go, no, it's not really what I thought it was just from looking at that verse. But that's a danger or temptation when you're pulling in lots of texts on a particular topic. Having said all of that, I think there is a place in preaching for topically organized expository preaching. And I want to try to give some examples of that. And let me just start by turning your attention to the sheet there. We've recently put together a very helpful resource at the Alliance of Confessing Evangelicals that has, in one paperback volume, all of the sermons of Donald Barnhouse, all of the sermons of James Boyce, all of the PCRT addresses. It's 50 or 60 years of expository ministry. And it's interesting to see all the things that are in there. And one of the things I've noticed is occasional times when Dr. Boyce did a topical series of Bible expositions. So you can see in front of you a series here called Amazing Grace, and there are a variety of biblical texts taken from Scripture, starting with Genesis chapter 3, emphasizing the sufficiency of God's grace, the sovereignty of God's grace, how God's grace works in salvation and sanctification and so forth. All of them preached with some sensitivity, I'm sure you will find, to the context of each of those Bible passages, but together as a series, taking a congregation through a season of God's grace looked at from various aspects. Thought this was an interesting little series, But God, that's a striking phrase, and we've even touched on it in our study of Romans this week a little bit. Places in the Bible where God intervenes, and you see the difference it makes when God does intervene. Or here's a series on discipleship, mainly drawn maybe exclusively from the Gospels. But those would be a couple of different examples of a topical series that's actually an expositional series, which I think is very legitimate, and maybe some examples of how to do that kind of preaching. There's a little series that Dr. Barnhouse did that I always liked the sound of. It was Men Whom God Struck Dead. So kind of looking at the, that was Barnhouse for you, just kind of in your face with it. But cautionary tales from Scripture that had a sort of thematic length. That would excite the children in your congregation, I'm sure. If you turn over, there's a page that has contents, and Robert Poland just copied for us the contents of a book, ultimately, that Dr. Boyce and I did together. It says Part 1, Words from the Cross. Part two, the real last words of Christ. Part three, the message of the cross. Three different examples of what might be a useful Lenten series leading up to Easter. We had done these as Bible expositions here in the sanctuary on weekdays, primarily for business people that would come in during a lunch hour. We did a very traditional order here, the seven last words of Christ, words from the cross, we called it. But then we had the seven real last words of Christ, that is, things that he said in his earthly ministry after his resurrection. And then the message of the cross was really comments made in the rest of the New Testament about kind of a word about the cross. That was kind of the idea of it. But if you're the kind of person like I am that's always maybe looking for a little bit of a fresh idea for Christmas or a little bit of a fresh idea for Easter season, maybe those are a couple of examples. Here, that book is called The Heart of the Cross. The Heart of the Cross, available now in a very reasonably priced paperback. Short messages, kind of 15-minute sermons. Couple of pointers about topical exposition, one of which I've already mentioned. You should choose your text carefully. I mean, really look at it to make sure that it really does and can do what you think it does and can do. I made the comment the other day that we need to preach the text, not the idea that brought us to the text. Well, if you've sort of organized a topical series and you're going to preach on this topic, there's going to be a lot of pressure to move away from the text to the idea that brought you to the text if you haven't chosen that text carefully. So that's a pointer. Always, when we are preaching a text, to be rigorously grounded in that text. I think it's one of the marks of genuine expositional preaching. I mean, we haven't talked this week, but we could, about criteria for expositional ministry. You know, what counts and what doesn't count as an expository message. I mean, you can define expositional preaching, but I really think it begins with a mindset that I am in submission to this text of Scripture, and I am really listening to what the Scripture says, so that that Scripture can have its way with me and therefore with the congregation to which I preach. That's the expositional mindset fundamentally. And we need to really keep that in mind and bring ourselves in submission when we're preaching, perhaps in a more topically organized way. I do think it is legitimate to use a text for a secondary purpose or application, but if we do, we need to make the primary purpose clear. So let me just give one example of this. I probably should have come armed with a few more examples, but if you just look in Jeremiah 29, a passage I've preached from on a number of occasions, you may well be familiar with verses 11 and following. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for wholeness and not for evil. The context here is Jeremiah writing to the exiles in Babylon, and just for encouragement that God is, they're going to be there 70 years, and this is part of God's plan, and he will really bless them as they invest their lives in life and ministry and worship in the place where God has called them to serve. Now, I have preached from this text, particularly here in Center City, Philadelphia, from the vantage point, really, of urban ministry, of being in a secular city, and God's calling to live in that city, get married in that city, you know, all the things that God talks about here, do business in that city, pray for that city. I think that's a very legitimate application of this biblical text. It would not be my view that this chapter has nothing to say with people that live in the suburbs or that live in rural Pennsylvania, for example. And I could imagine a kind of preaching which is so focused on a sort of secondary application rather than stepping back and saying, it's not really so much that it's about the city per se. This is about the people of God living in exile, and this is for all the people of God. And there's a wider context here, in a very gospel-centered context, of Christ himself entering into our exiled situation to bring us out of exile. There's a wider gospel context and a wider application, I think within that, I can narrow my focus to a more specific application, and that's legitimate in topical exposition. But I want to make that wider context clear at some level in the sermon. I certainly want to keep it in mind as I'm preparing to preach so that I do not give a sort of so specific application that it somewhat distorts the wider purpose of the text. That would maybe just be one small example of a general principle, using a text for what may be a secondary application, but in doing that, making the primary clear even in the preaching context. Here are a couple of occasions when topical exposition may be particularly appropriate. Occasions of national significance. Something that is so dominant in people's hearts and minds that it really needs to be addressed in the context of the worship of people of God. I mean, 9/11, that sort of thing. Or maybe the earthquake in Haiti for some, particularly if they had ministry connections there, would have risen to that level. But occasions of national significance that you want to speak to that issue, but now important to choose wisely a text for that. When in the context of 9/11 for us, it was Psalm 46, and I know there were others that turned to that as well. Occasions of congregational significance. The dedication of a building. Did Dan Keel slip out there? They're doing that in a couple of weeks. Dan's right there, yeah. So no doubt you've thought about worship, what we're going to preach from, and those kinds of things. And you'll be facing some of these temptations to move a text maybe even more so in a direction, that's a very appropriate time to have a topical type of exposition. Possibly the death of someone in the congregation, depending on the church context. A significant anniversary in the life of the church. When we had our 175th anniversary as a church not too long ago, I did a series, sort of our vision in ministry. You can see this on, it's on the bottom of the page that says examples of topical series, and it has the James Boyce section. The bottom of that second, the right-hand side, it says vision series. And you can see what some of the texts and titles were there. A calling to the city, a church for the city, what that kind of ministry looks like. Examples particularly from the life of Barnabas and his exemplary ministry. Hope for the city, prayer for the city, taking the prayer in Psalm 122, which is a prayer for Jerusalem. But incidentally, in Jeremiah 29, basically the point is pray that prayer now for Babylon. And this is actually the prayer not just for the people of God, but there's an evangelistic dimension to it. And also from Jeremiah 32, a vision for the city. Just an example of how you might do a topical series that is really helping people understand God's calling to ministry, but wanting to live in and dwell in those biblical texts. And get something of their fullness in the context of that exposition. There may be times of congregational need. A particular season of life a congregation is going through. An example for me is the kinds of Bible readings and short Bible expositions we had the month after Dr. Boyce died. We set aside a month of mourning as a congregation and wanted to teach some passages that would comfort, help, encourage the congregation, very directed to what we were going through as a church. Areas for congregational growth. And I've got an example, do I? I don't have an example. I'll just tell you an example. This last fall, I preached through 1 Corinthians 13. What were the reasons behind it? Well, I thought it would help us just to grow in our love for God and love for one another. So I had a sort of topical agenda. Now, that was an exposition through 1 Corinthians 13, but it was kind of a double exposition because for each little phrase, love is this, love is not that, I really did an exposition of a story from the Gospels. So I did a few things with the topic of love that is presented for us in 1 Corinthians 13, but then there was actually an exposition of a story from the life of Christ, and actually I worked out the series, so we kind of walked through the life of Christ fairly chronologically over the course of that. So there was a topical agenda and a topical organization that was driven in part by a sense of what would be healthy for our congregation as a church. I've given you a couple of other examples on the sheet. One, the City on a Hill, that series was, but I really walked us through the main statements in our mission statement as a church with appropriate, what I believe to be appropriate scripture. You'll see on the back of all this, again, it says contents. It's been published as a little book with a study guide, but it was a series I called Discovering God in Stories from the Bible. And what I did was I went through topically the first one of the question from the Shorter Catechism, what is God or who is God, we would say. God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, truth. So it was really a topical series in the attributes of God. And I talked about those divine attributes and about, you know, what they mean and so forth. But I then showed each of those attributes in action in the context of a Bible story. And so I was really expounding that text with a particular agenda of illuminating that aspect of God's character. But then that also then was helpful because it suggested lines of application. I wasn't just sort of taking an abstract attribute and then thinking about how it applied, but actually seeing God demonstrating that aspect of his character and then seeing in the response of the people that were in that biblical narrative, some areas of personal application. So I just present those as just a couple of examples of the kinds of things you might do with a series of topical expositions.